All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's continue. So we're picking up last paragraph, page Tzadikei. So if you remember again, the Piagetzna in his efforts to explain to us the incredible Kedusha that we each possess, that every individual possesses, used the example of Nevuah, and specifically focusing on the idea that you see throughout Tanakh that even simple people possessed Nevuah. The example that he gave yesterday was Manoach and his wife. And whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have provided them with this information in a variety of different ways, he chooses to send them a Malach. He chooses to go and express his message to them through Nevuah. The Piagetzna is choosing to go ahead and use this as an opportunity to show us that if a person has the capacity for Nevuah, it obviously bespeaks and highlights an incredible internal holiness. Even if I haven't actualized it, it bespeaks an incredible internal holiness. He gives another example. Shaul HaMelech lo haya Navi. Shaul was not a Navi. He was king, but he wasn't a Navi. Va'od terem shamalach bein lahakas neviim gam keni. But even before he became king, there were episodes when the spirit of prophecy descended upon him. V'lohu bilvat, not only Shaul, Elagam shlichav sheshalach lirdof es David HaMelech, kisha ba'u l'shmol hanavi v'tamidav b'nei hanavim. Not only that, but there were some of the soldiers and some of the messengers of Shaul. Remember again, this is the story when he was pursuing David HaMelech, and the messengers would not go ahead and apprehend David because they were seized with a spirit of prophecy. Gam, page Tzadik Vav. Gam aleim haisa ruach Hashem v'gam heim nibu. They were seized with this spirit of God, and they prophesied, "Asher kinira, look at elahatzil es David bilvad hishra Hashemes ruach hanavua aleihem." Remember again, the point of this nevuah wasn't just simply to save David. Rather, kikidei lahatzilo lo haya mahapech rodfei dam naki l'neviim, rak haya osa lo neis acher kimo b'shar hatzalosav. Because remember again, let's analyze this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and transforms, right, Shaul, his followers, into prophets. So why did God do this? Why did God do this? Remember again. So the simple, mostly, just to remember again, the story in Navi is that Shaul hears that David is hiding out in a particular location, dispatches a battalion of soldiers to go and retrieve him, and the soldiers, as they come close, they find themselves overcome by a spirit of prophecy, and are unable to comply with Shaul's wishes. This happens time after time after time again. So ask the Piagetzna a simple question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? What was the point of this miracle? See, if you want to say it was to save David HaMelech, it's hard to say that why. Because if it's about saving King David, then what? There are other ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have saved King David. And there are other ways throughout David HaMelech's, running away from Shaul, there are many ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him. Yet, conferring prophecy upon groups of people seems a strange way to go ahead and save David. So what's the pshat? He says, "Aval lama atalanisim u'lishanos hateva." Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do something so miraculous to change the natural order of things? HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ose nesim b'chdi. I would say important klal, God never does miracles just for the sake of doing miracles. Miracles, remember, always serve some type of purpose. Im yesh ata davar kol kach poshet la asosum l'neviim, halo yisraelim heim kishe misrachim mim koram miskashmim, aval kishe boim ben hanaviim kam heim misparetzes nevuasam. Rather, says the Piagetzna, what's the message? The message is that sometimes in life we veer very far away. Sometimes in life we lose our way. But yet what happens when you take someone who is far away and you put them in the midst of a group of prophets, what happens? They become prophets as well. In other words, the message that Piagetzna is saying is that what? Is that sometimes we become paupers. But put us among rich people, right? Surround us with wealth and what? We remember our identity as a rich man. Sometimes the prince loses his way and veers very far away from the castle. But put him in path back to the castle and he'll find his way there. This incredible, incredible idea, says the Piagetzna, that we all possess incredible Kiddusha. That was the message that HaKadosh Baruch was trying to convey to Shaul and to his followers, was to say, you guys are doing some really bad stuff. You're great people. You are great people. You have the capacity for incredible greatness. What's the proof? The proof is that when you find yourselves amongst prophets, what do you do? What do you do? You prophesize. You prophesize. So what does that show you? What that shows you is at the end of it, you have this incredible capacity and this incredible potential for greatness. Don't forget your greatness. Find a way to actualize that greatness. The Chachamim Zichronon Livracha Odamru. Bos is another incredible idea. Sheneviim Kifayim Kiotz Mitzrayim. So we'll say Chazal tell us Gemara Maseches Megillah that there were so many prophets for the Jewish people, two times the number of people who left Egypt. That's how many prophets there were for Klal Yisrael. Nehainu Meya VeEsrim Ribo Neviim Hayu Yisrael. There were 1.2 million prophets for the Jewish people. So, 1 second, 1.2 million prophets. So what happened to all of them? Sa'ad, the Gemara says, Felonis Barshu Babsukim, Mipnesh Nevuah Shehotzru Chaladoros Nichtava, Nevuah Shelohotzru Chaladoros Lo Nichtava. But say that's because of a technical issue, that only prophecies which have future impact are recorded in Tanakh, but prophecies which do not have future impact are not recorded in Tanakh. So we'll say, so that's just a function, ultimately, again, of that they those prophecies are not necessary. But at the end of the day, 1.2 million prophets for Klal Yisrael. Or Medrash Shirim Isa, the Medrash writes, Shemispar zesh hanavim haya bedor she'eliyah hanavi bilvad, chutz min hanavim she'e b'shay deras. So also, there's another opinion in Miguel that says that 1.2 million number, that's the prophets who lived during the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, not counting the prophets who existed during the rest of Jewish history. So we'll say, so what does this mean? So it says the Piagetzna, the Gadlus HaNavi Ashar Yisrael Haisa, Shehaya Tamid Navi, Umadregas Nevuaso, Haisi Yisera Harbelem. So we'll say in general, what was the nature of a Navi? A Navi was a person, Ramam discusses this, a Navi was a person who held himself to a higher spiritual standard and lived by a higher spiritual standard consistently. The mashal. So the Piaget is going to give you a mashal. Ato yeshnam tzadikim, shein tamid tzadikim. It's actually quite beautiful. Ol yashem amida meruba, kol echel efi madrigaso. There are some tzadikim, we'll say what we'll call our consistent tzadikim. Who are the consistent tzadikim? They're tzadikim who are always consistent. They're always righteous, they're always pious, always good. Obviously, always is a relative term. No one's always. But the idea is that they maintain a heightened level of piety and spiritual holiness. Aval gam kol ish Yisrael, lo yimalit shelo tiye bo eze tzedaka ve eze avoda. It says the Piagetzna, but even by regular people, it's impossible for a person to run away in a way that there won't be some type of tzedakah or some type of spiritual service. So we'll say, what does that mean? So the Piagetzna says, there are consistent tzaddikim and there are inconsistent tzaddikim. Who are the consistent tzaddikim? Okay, those are what we colloquially refer to as tzaddikim. And we'll say, who are the inconsistent tzaddikim? Most times, that's us, right? We're the inconsistent tzaddikim. I have moments of incredible piety. I have moments of incredible holiness, but I don't maintain that consistently throughout my life. Here's the incredible piece. I have tzidkos. You see, I want to be clear. The Piagetzna is not criticizing the inconsistent tzaddik, right? The Piagetzna is not giving musar to the inconsistent tzaddik, just the opposite. The Piagetzna is praising the inconsistent tzaddik. The Piagetzna is saying that even the inconsistent tzaddik clearly has tzidkus, righteousness, piety inside of him. That's the incredible part. So the Gemara says as follows. He says, "V'im lo gidola kitzidkas tzaddik," and even though the inconsistent tzaddik may not be as great as the regular tzaddik, "al koponim avoda utzdaki," nevertheless, his avoda is meaningful and significant. Gamkin, Binyani Hanavua Lefanim. We'll say the same thing was in terms of prophecy. Arbo'im Ushmona Hanavim Shanis Parsimu. Alu Lihios Nevi'im Gidolim Kol Echalefi Majegaso. We'll say the 48 Nevi'im that we have throughout Tanakh. Ultimately, again, what distinguished them? Their incredible, consistent, and uplifted sense of piety. Alu Lihios Nevi'im Gidolim. Nevi'im to medium, consistent prophets. Kimosha Amar Akasiv. Navi lagoyim nisaticha. As the Kaddish Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, I have made you as a prophet to the nations. Kimo, I'm sorry, aval nevua pa'amis le'is hatzorech. But I will say there are other people who just had momentary moments of nevua, right? There are people who had nevua, but again, it wasn't consistent and ongoing. They had nevua for a time. So le'is hatzorech, for a need. Kigon b'manoach v'ishto, like Manoach and his wife. O kisheva ben anavim, called Ish Yisrael hayayachal liskos, ki halo bnei Yisrael melifnim, hayu krovim al Hashem, v'arubos hashemayim pesuchim hayu, u'bechol tzorech diber ha'avim baram. So we'll say, this, such an incredible Yisod. First of all, it's an interesting interpretation in the Gemara. What does it mean there are 1.2 million prophets? It means that there were 1.2 million people, ultimately again, who had some level of nevuah over the course of time. What does it mean? How are they distinguished ultimately again between the 48 primary Nevi'im? The 48 primary Nevi'im were consistent prophets. This was inconsistent prophecy. Paradigmatic example, this Manoach and his wife. They received a momentary prophecy to announce the birth of their son, Shimshon. But they were not consistent Nevi'im. Because says the Piyajatzna, in life, there are different kinds of people. Just like there are consistent tzaddikim, inconsistent tzaddikim. There are people who are always able to maintain a certain level of purity and holiness. And others, like most of us, who experience a series of ups and downs in life. But again, we'll say here's something amazing. Generally, when we think about our personal inconsistency, if you think about it, for most of us, it's not a source of inspiration. In fact, it's often a source of exasperation. Meaning what? I'm annoyed at myself that I can't be consistent. Meaning, I don't understand. I understand that very often in life, I don't get traction on things because I'm not consistent. And you fill in the blank, whatever, because all of us are inconsistent with something. You're lucky if you're only inconsistent with one thing, right? Most of us are inconsistent with multiple things. And it's annoying. It's exasperating. Says the Piyajetzna, don't be exasperated by it. Be inspired by it. Why, Abbo say? Because if I'm inconsistent, at least what that means is that I have moments of greatness. If I have moments of greatness, those moments highlight who I really am at my core. Those moments remind me that in my essence, I'm going to say, what am I? I'm the rich guy, right? In my essence, what am I? I'm the tzaddik. In my essence, ultimately, again, I am something and someone great. Now, again, obviously, I don't want to resign myself to a life of inconsistency, right? I'd like to try to become more consistent. I'd like to try to become better. But instead of becoming exasperated by the inconsistency, that inconsistency, specifically those moments of inspiration, has to be the fuel which reminds me of my personal greatness and inspires me to do better. All right, so we have to stop here for today. We'll pick up top of page Tzadik Zion tomorrow.